Sun Country pilots say it's payback time. NetJets places a big order with Bombardier. And Austro is working on a six-cylinder aero diesel. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, March 4th, 2011. Sun Country Airlines has emerged from bankruptcy, a positive step that the airline's 162 pilots hope will encourage their management to a speedy resolution of a new pilot contract. Captain Dennis Vanatta, chairman of the Sun Country Master Executive Council of the Airline Pilots Association, says the announcement that Sun Country has left Chapter 11 is the latest sign of the airline industry's improving fortunes. Quote, "We're pleased that our management can now put its full focus on growing our airline. Getting out of Chapter 11 took longer than usual because of our unique situation, but we hope we are now on the right path to success." Unquote. Sun Country was forced into bankruptcy in late 2008 after an FBI investigation resulted in charges that majority owner Tom Petters had stolen billions from investors. He went to jail. Pilots and other employees endured 50% pay cuts for a while to keep the airline from going under. Well, employees have been repaid with interest and the airline is growing again. Sun Country has recalled everyone who was on furlough, is hiring new pilots, and won FAA certification last year to fly overseas, including regularly scheduled service to Great Britain. Vanatta says management should not forget the sacrifices employees have made to preserve the airline. NetJets has signed a purchase agreement with Bombardier Aerospace to add up to 120 new Bombardier Global aircraft into the NetJets fleet. The deal would include a mix of the Global 500, Global Express XRS Vision, Global 7000, and Global 8000. The agreement includes a firm order from NetJets for 50 Global Business Jets valued at a retail price of $2.8 billion, with options for an additional 70 aircraft. If all those options are exercised, the total retail value of $6.7 billion would make this the largest aircraft purchase in the history of private aviation. So, why now? Deliveries of the models currently in production would not start till the fourth quarter of 2010, and the first deliveries of the Global 7000 and Global 8000 jets wouldn't happen till 2017. NetJets CEO David Sokol explains, quote, "We are taking advantage of the current lull in the private aviation market to position the NetJets fleet for the future. Although we anticipate 2011 to be another difficult year, when Bombardier begins to make deliveries of these aircraft, we will be ready to satisfy the market's demand." Unquote. NetJets operates a global fleet of more than 800 aircraft from manufacturers including Cessna, Dassault, Gulfstream, and Hawker Beechcraft. Three-quarters of those aircraft have been delivered since 2000, including 554 from U.S. manufacturers. Two of Austria's key engine development companies, Austro Engine and Steyr Motors, signed a cooperation agreement Wednesday to develop a 280-horsepower, six-cylinder diesel aircraft engine based on the Steyr monoblock motor M1, featuring integral crankcase and cylinder head, which has proven itself in marine and special vehicle applications. The power plant is intended for the Diamond DA50 Magnum single-engine five-seat private aircraft and the future small aircraft twin-engine private and utility aircraft. Development, certification, and production of the programs will take place at Diamond's Wiener-Neustadt facility. Dr. Rudolf Streicher, Steyr Motors shareholder representative, is happy. Quote, "With Austro Engine, we have gained an especially competent and innovative partner." Unquote. The FAA has posted notice in the Federal Register that the first annual meeting of the Aviation Noise Impacts Roadmap will be held April 19th through the 20th in Washington, D.C., to coordinate and communicate research activities and findings among stakeholders and other parties with an interest in aviation noise impact. The purpose of the meeting is to update and advance collective scientific knowledge of the impact of aircraft noise on society in order to develop optimal mitigation solutions. A product of the meeting will be an Aviation Noise Impacts Roadmap document. Attendance is open to all interested parties, but for building security reasons, those wishing to participate are asked to register by March 29th. For more information and registration details, see the text version of this story, dated March 3rd, at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, the mystery of Amelia remains frustrating. Endeavour is prepared for its last launch. and a NASA official says private spaceflight can be safe. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 4th. I'm Paul Plack. Officials from Bougainville Island off the coast of New Guinea say no one will be allowed in an area where the wreckage of Amelia Earhart's Lockheed Electra may be resting on the ocean floor. An expedition led by David Mona and Cletus Harepa may have located what is arguably the most famous plane wreck of all time. The Papua New Guinea Post Courier reports that any divers wishing to visit the site will be required to get permission from Mona and Harepa. The site is northwest of Buka Island, and the plane is thought to be in just over 200 feet of water. Mona said his group has been actively searching for the wreckage of the Electra since 2000. It was lost in 1937. Tests on bone fragments, which searchers hoped would link them to the world's most famous missing aviator, have proven inconclusive. After testing the fragments found on a South Pacific island, along with other artifacts, scientists at the University of Oklahoma said they could not be certain they were from Amelia Earhart. The fragments, along with makeup and old bottles, were found on Nikumaroro Island, almost 2,000 miles south of Hawaii. About a half gram of bone remains, and the scientists say they're not going to test that sample. Instead, they'll put it away until less destructive testing methods are developed, and DNA tests may be more sensitive. The space shuttle Endeavour is set to move from the Vehicle Assembly Building at Kennedy Space Center to Launch Pad 39A this Wednesday in preparation for its final launch April 19th on mission STS-134 to the International Space Station. During the 14-day mission, Endeavour's astronauts will deliver the Alpha Magnetic Spectrometer, a particle physics detector designed to search for various types of unusual matter by measuring cosmic rays. The crew will also deliver the Express Logistics Carrier 3, a platform that carries spare parts to sustain station operations once the shuttles are retired later this year. When proponents of government-managed space exploration argue their case, they usually raise the idea that safety will be compromised in the for-profit environment of commercial spaceflight. But Dr. George C. Neild, the FAA Associate Administrator for Commercial Space Transportation, urged the industry this week not to let fear bring about failure. Speaking at the Next Generation Suborbital Researchers Conference held in Orlando, Neild pointed to the shuttle program, which had two catastrophic failures over 132 flights, or one fatal outcome every 66 flights. He compared that to the commercial airlines, which have a fatal accident rate on the order of once every million flights, or about 10,000 times safer. Quote, "We do need to be cautious about enshrining our current way of doing business as the only acceptable approach. To imply that only NASA is capable of safely flying people to space, or that American industry isn't capable of doing the job equally well, if not better, is not only unfair, it's just flat out wrong," unquote. Neild says space travel is inherently risky. Combining an unforgiving environment with equipment being operated near its maximum capacity. But he added, quote, "Only about 500 people have had the opportunity to experience spaceflight firsthand. After 50 years, that is really sad," unquote. Still ahead, a TSA screener is in big trouble in Buffalo. UAVs could be a $94 billion industry. And is an international delivery really news? You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom. From Sirius Aircraft, freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. the breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, March 4th. I'm Paul Plack. A TSA screener at Buffalo Niagara Airport has been arrested on charges that she assisted known drug traffickers in getting through airport security. Minetta Walker was taken into custody by FBI and DEA agents Tuesday afternoon, following an extensive investigation. Federal authorities told the Buffalo News that the 43-year-old Walker had been under surveillance for months after they became aware she had connections with drug dealers in the area. They say Walker helped drug traffickers clear security checkpoints, as well as provided them with information. No other TSA employees were implicated. Walker has pleaded not guilty to the charges against her. How fast is demand for UAVs growing? Philip Finnegan, Teal Group's Director of Corporate Analysis and an author of the firm's 2011 market study, says that worldwide spending on UAVs will roughly double over the next decade, from $5.9 billion a year to $11.3, driven by success in Iraq and Afghanistan. The eighth edition of the sector study, World Unmanned Aerial Vehicle Systems, Market Profile and Forecast, pegs the market over the next 10 years at $94 billion worldwide. If you think the recent Chinese acquisitions of American aviation companies are impressive, listen to this. A report in China Daily indicates that the country plans to invest over $228 billion in aviation in the next 5 years, including the construction of 45 airports and adding 700 additional commercial aircraft to its fleet. Li Jixiang, head of the Civil Aviation Administration of China, told a news conference Tuesday that the airport construction process will be accelerated despite small financial losses being experienced by some current airports. He said that airports are public infrastructure and that the construction plans should not be profit-driven. Air travel in China is reportedly up 15.8% in the past year, enough that the government is actually entertaining proposals for private sector airports and airlines. And finally, it's got to be tough for a general aviation manufacturer's PR department to keep a stream of cheerful updates coming during a period when half the workforce has been laid off. But kudos to Cessna for at least making the effort. The company has announced that the first international delivery of a Model 162 Skycatcher has been made to a customer in Australia. That aircraft is on display at the Australian International Air Show, which runs now through Sunday. The customer, Aeromil Pacific, is based at Sunshine Coast Airport in Queensland and will use the new 162 for sales demonstrations throughout the year. But I gotta ask, if you build the parts in the U.S., ship them to China for assembly, then partially disassemble the plane and ship it back to the U.S. to be reassembled for delivery, doesn't that make every Skycatcher an international delivery? I mean, you know, just saying. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, David Kruger, CEO of the Aircraft Partnership Association, tells us why, after all the economic factors involved in shared aircraft ownership are solved, is when the hard part really begins. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.